In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the older I get, the more I understand that the spiritual life is all fought with the thoughts. If you control your thoughts, then you control yourself. If you have bad thoughts, your life is bad. If you have unhappy thoughts, your life is unhappy. If you have angry thoughts, your life is full of anger. It's as simple as that, although it's not so simple. Simple ideas are hard to execute in practice. But basically, life is about having your thoughts become God's thoughts, thinking as God thinks. Now, the Gospels and the Epistles today have lots of really meaty things that we could speak about. And as I was reading the epistle for the day, which is Philippians, we're reading through Philippians now. See how the year goes? We're already all the way into Philippians. We've left Romans and Corinthians behind, Galatians, Ephesians, except for some of the readings on the Sundays. We're already in Philippians. Just time is passing by. Things are happening so fast. One of the epistles said that we must be redeeming the time. The way you redeem the time is always by having thoughts that are godly, thoughts that are good, thoughts that are full of rejoicing. Now, I saw something yesterday where a man who's very upset, he works with the homeless, and he's a veteran and suffers from PTSD. And he's Orthodox, but I think there's a few rough edges in terms of what he was taught. He's angry because not everyone shares his view or does exactly what he does. He figures everyone should be going out to feed the homeless, and why are so many people not doing this? And why is there this sort of canard that people have come up with? That why is there not any love in the Orthodox Church? People tend to say that, not understanding that there are holy men and women that are full of love. I've met them. I know that they pray for me. But the rank and file person, well, they're as ordinary as the rank and file person that's getting on the bus or riding the train or going to the church down the street. And that's true. But he was ranting and raving about it, and even getting to the point of telling people they were evil if they had a viewpoint that was trying to get him to calm down. And my heart goes out to him because he's not controlling his thoughts. I've been there. I've done that. There's a lot of evil in the world. There's a lot of terrible things. As a priest, I've seen terrible things in the church. I've seen people in the church do terrible things. That's a better way to put it. And it's hard to reconcile that with the goodness of God. I mean, we should all be, theoretically, loving God and serving Him. But it doesn't really work that way. When you get a group of people together, some are serious and some are not. It's always been that way. And this man that was having his ranting and raving, his thoughts had just run amok. And when I was reading Philippians, as I always do, or almost always, I try to read backwards and forwards, in front of the reading and after the reading. And just before this reading of today, Paul says something pretty amazing to me. It's sort of, perhaps some people would think it's kind of just a parenthetical statement or a throwaway couple words, but they really have a deep effect on me every time I read them. Perhaps it's because I'm sort of psychological. I'm aware of my thoughts quite often and trying to control them, and often they're like unruly beasts. They're hard to control. And here's what he said. He was referring to the fact that he was in bonds and that people were preaching Christ, and some were preaching out of envy and some were preaching out of strife and some were preaching out of good motives. And he didn't care. He says, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. There is the key to victorious living. Did you know that joy is a choice? Everything's a choice. Whether you're happy or unhappy, angry or not angry, joyful or sorrowful, it's choice. The mistake people make in the world and people in the church that think in a worldly way, that don't think in the way of the gospel, that aren't immersed in its ethos. They think that their conditions in life determine whether they're joyful or not joyful, happy or unhappy, fulfilled or not fulfilled. It's not true. It's not your conditions in life that determine your external conditions, whether you're poor or not poor, or being taken advantage of, in prison or not in prison, have difficult family situations or easy ones. None of that determines whether or not you have joy in your life. Paul said, I will rejoice. Now, he had lots of reasons to be unhappy. Of course, he was in prison. He was in bonds. Also, there were those that he had ministered with that had left him and had turned out to be false. That's very hard to endure, to see. There were those who were preaching Christ, but they were doing it hypocritically. Plus, he had the worries of all of these churches that he had founded, and some of them were doing well, and some of them weren't doing so well. You read some of the parts of the letters to the Corinthians, it turns out those people were not doing too well sometimes. Not at all. And he rebuked the Galatians at one point. So there was a lot that was not going so well. But what did St. Paul say? I will rejoice. And he meant it. And then in the reading we have today, he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Because he was living in Christ. If you live in Christ, then you're full of joy, whether you're in prison or not, whether your people are abandoning you or not, whether people are feeding the homeless or they're not. This is very important. This is a principle that we have to learn to master. You have to choose to rejoice. Now, you can't choose to rejoice if you're full of anger, or full of jealousy, or full of self-pity, or lazy. You can't choose to rejoice then because you don't have any tools. See, choosing to rejoice is not magic. It comes about from a strong character. If you don't have that character, then you can't make those choices. But as this character is being built up by God, by grace, by your effort, by the fact that you are his workmanship, created unto good works, and with the grace of the Holy Spirit abiding in you, you will ascend in virtue and ascend in peacefulness and tranquility in your soul, regardless of what's going on outside. There'll be peace and joy in your soul. That's a choice we have to make. I'm not so good at making that choice sometimes, but I've learned a little bit about it. You have to choose. And I've seen that my behaviors when I'm not happy are always because I'm making the wrong choice. Now, you have to get past making the wrong choice to, you know, be drinking too much and be looking at unclean images and be always being angry and fuming at people and being full of gossip and being lazy and never reading the Bible and not saying your prayers. You have to get past those things. You have to be able to master those things. Those are not the choices I'm talking about. I'm talking about the choice of how I think, how I feel when I approach a certain situation. And if I make the right choice, then all is happiness. All is good. I encounter people all the time that I'll see and then I'll never see again. They say they'll come back and they don't. And sometimes, you know, I've been around a while, I can kind of tell when somebody comes to talk to me that they're probably not going to be around for very long. That's a judgment that I've learned how to make. It's generally I'm right 100% of the time. But the problem with that kind of intuition is feeling negative thoughts about it. Like, what's the point to talking to these people? They're not really hearing what I'm saying. Things like that. But instead, if I have the choice to rejoice that something has brought them to the church, and perhaps a seed will be planted. It doesn't look like it's going to grow right now, but perhaps 10 years later, 30 years later. I know with my father-in-law, he's a very pious and wonderful man, and anybody who thinks that the Orthodox Church doesn't have people who love doesn't know him. He was out of the church for 20-some years, almost. He had fled, basically run away from Greece. He lived on Patmos, the island of St. John. And he was baptized by Father Amphilochios, who was a holy man, probably will be recognized as a saint. Many people already recognize him as a saint. And yet he had a difficult time. He left and he had troubles with his dad and everything. And then he hadn't been in the church for years. Hadn't prayed. Hadn't fasted. If perhaps he had brought one of his children to be baptized, which they were baptized, and I had been the one baptizing them, perhaps I would have had negative thoughts thinking, this guy's not coming around. He's not coming back. And yet, now, he has great faith, prays for many people. There's a certain light around him. There's a certain gentleness and calmness around him. Could be happening with the people that I see next week or probably this weekend. Usually it's somebody every weekend. If I have the choice to rejoice, if I make that choice, I'm going to rejoice. They've come, I can give them a little. Perhaps it will be enough for later on. Perhaps it will be enough for right now. If I make that choice, then I live victoriously. That's what we have to do. And it's all being tied up in, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. If we do that, if we make the choice to live according to Christ, and doing what Christ tells us to do, then we'll be happy. Doesn't matter if things go well or things go poorly, if people listen to us or people don't. You got to control your thoughts. And if you do that, then you will be deliriously happy and peaceful. That's very, very important. So that's what Philippians told me today. Just a simple thing where he says, I therein do rejoice, yea, and I will rejoice. Choose to be happy. Now, like I told you, if you're not saying your prayers, if you're not reading the gospel and being immersed in it, you don't have a whole lot of chance to choose to be happy. It's going to be real tough because the world is telling you things. And you might think you're impervious to what it tells you, but you're not. You're very suggestible. That's why I tell you to read the Gospels every day, to become part of the reality that the Gospels shows us. And if you have that reality percolating in you all the time, then God will help you. And you will be able to choose to rejoice no matter what happens to you. And then things get a lot easier. It's easier to pray. It's easier to fast. It's easier to love. It's easier to do things even when they are difficult. Try this. Learn to rejoice. Not in some sort of false sort of, you know, surfacey way. I'm not talking about singing love songs to Jesus all the time. That's not rejoicing. That's emotional manipulation. Instead, live for Christ. And if you live for Christ, and you beg God to help you with your thoughts, then your thoughts become good. And if your thoughts are good, your life is good. It's very, very important. So may God help us to choose to rejoice. Amen.